as you can see, that out there in the big fellowship area, the floor is starting to, the glue is starting to come off. So if you've worked on that, thank you for working on that. I know Phil and Savannah are still working on that pretty much every day, but it will be clean, and we will get it done. So, like I said, it takes 46 years to rebuild the temple, so I'm going to keep saying that because it takes a minute to do what we're doing. So it's good to see all of your faces here tonight. But tonight I want to share with you tonight that we got to keep growing as believers. You have to keep growing. If you're a believer in Christ, you have to keep growing. If you don't keep growing, you will go stagnant and you will trip and you will find yourself in places you shouldn't be. So we're going to look at some things tonight. If you had your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to share some things about four major pieces about growing, keep growing in Christ. And maybe a couple of big words we're going to do in here. We're going to share what those mean. There's a lot of areas we could cover about reading your Bible, praying, those kind of things. And those are all about growing in Christ. But I want to go a little bit deeper in growing in Christ tonight. Sometimes some people tell me that I don't go deep enough at times because I've been a Christian a long time. Other people say, hey, we're going too deep. So we just got to balance it out, right? We got to balance it out. So tonight I want to talk to you first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a call to sanctification. Now that's a big word for some of us. Sanctification is a big word. But when you become a believer, you start to hear this word being sanctified, sanctification, which means to be set apart by God. It's a holy thing that God is going, it's being used for His purposes. Okay? Separate. God's separating for you to be to Him. Okay? Separated to God now. And He can use you. So He does this for reason. I need to turn the where I'm supposed to be to. I got a bunch of several places I want to go tonight. Here we go. So, Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1 says, finally then, brothers, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you must walk and please God as you are doing, do so even more, for you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, so that each of you knows how to control his own or her own body, and sanctification and honor, not with lustful desires like the Gentiles who do not know God. And this means one must not transgress against and defraud his brothers in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses, as we also previously told and warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but to sanctification. Therefore, the person who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also gives you his Holy Spirit. So there's a lot in here, but we're going to decipher some of it. But God has called you to walk in a way that pleases Him. And that's what He's done. Called you to walk in a way that pleases Him. So once we come to Christ, we are sanctified. God separates us from our old lifestyle. Separates us to Himself that He could use us for His purposes. I hope you just got what I said, especially that you had been Christians a long time. You got to understand sanctification as you grow in your walk with Christ. You have to understand sanctification. So this is God's will, is for us to be sanctified. Just saying you believe in God doesn't make you sanctified. Just because you say you believe in God does not give you salvation. The world today is selling, there's a selling of this gospel that you can just believe in God, or you can just say that you believe in Him and you have salvation. That's not being sanctified. But it is God's will that we become sanctified. And God did not save us to be impure. He saved us from impurity. We were already impure when we were born into sin. But the sanctification is separating us now. We need to understand that we're separated from the world. The more you draw closer to God, the more you begin to read and understand His Word, the more you will understand that this world, you're going to live in it, you live it, life is a gift, but you understand and know that it's more than just living here. You begin to understand that God has put more into you than you'll ever understand. The sanctification is an important thing. But if we reject it, and we reject what we're reading here, the Scripture tells us that we did not reject man, you didn't reject me, because I'm telling you, but the Scripture says you reject God. And He's the one that gives us the Holy Spirit. You see, back before Jesus came, there was no Holy Spirit that God would put into man. Sometimes He would give a spirit, and He would give a Holy Spirit into that man for a moment. But we also see that He would take it out, like in King Saul. He would took His spirit out. But once we become a believer, there's a promise that when we come to Christ and we are sanctified, that He gives us the Holy Spirit that speaks and leads us into the ways of righteousness, which is Christ-like living, to help us live a life now that we couldn't live the way God wants us to. We couldn't live it separated from God. We couldn't live it without God. But God also knew that we needed the counselor. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, which is the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. So God is speaking to us through His Spirit so that we would know how to be and live the way that God wants us to. Okay? So we need to understand and know that we need to understand that we are called to be sanctified. People don't want that. Some Christians, they want the salvation. They don't want the sanctification part. Because once you come to Christ, Christ is going to continue to move you away from the world's ways. But we want to drift back over into them. And God's going to put His hand, He's going to push you back, He's going to pull you toward Him. And you're going to go for a second or two, you're going to go for a minute, and then you're going to start leaning back in the way. Until you understand and know, sometimes a Christian has a hard time with sanctification their whole life. Because they're unwilling to be what God wants them to be. They're just that disobedient child their whole life. But not only does God call us to sanctification, and He calls us to that. This is about growing in Christ. Let's turn over to Romans. Many of you know Romans chapter 12, but we're going to read it. There is now the believers are called to be a living sacrifice. You see, when we come to Christ, we want what God offers: salvation, forgiveness of sin, my peace of going to heaven, to be with God, not going to hell, but to be with God. Let me remind you, there is a hell, whether you believe it or not, there is one. And I would guarantee you this through Scripture, anybody that could come back, we know from a story that somebody wanted to come back and tell their family, tell their brothers, change your ways, get with God, don't come here. But he was told you can't do that. Any one of them would trade for another time in life right now. And I guarantee you, yeah, you know where I'm going with that. But you get one shot in life, one go around the track. That's it. And there's no promise that your track is 100 years. There's no time. You do not know that time. But chapter 12 of Romans tells us in verse 1, Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. What is a living sacrifice? To be completely, to give your life over to Christ. To do what God desires you to do. Whatever it is, you say, I will go. Totally devoted to God. There are a lot of Christians that are not totally devoted to God. Now, like I said, this is a life thing. You always should be growing in your walk with Christ. But I do know this, as a believer, you should be a stronger believer today than you were a year ago. because we need to grow in our walk with God. But we are called to take care of our body in a holy way. If we are a believer, we are called to take care of our body in a holy way. We be careful what we put in it, how we treat it, how we market, whatever we do. I'm not fighting tattoo battles these days. It's a battle I fought before. But I'm not the one going to stand in front of God for that. That's whoever has tattoos, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's up to you. You have to make your own choice in that. Same thing. You want to marry a man, you're a man. You want to marry a woman, I'm just telling you this. Scripture says it's wrong. Now, I'm not going to answer for that, but you are. But if I don't teach and preach what is biblical, then I have to stand in front of God and answer for that. So I have to stand for what God called me to do, is to preach God's word. The truth of it. I can't pluck out what I want, pick what I want. I can't choose what I want. I can't choose this and that and put these over here and put those over there because I don't like them. I've got to do the whole thing. But we are called to take care of our bodies. Because why? It's a living sacrifice. It's holy. We're separated. We're sanctified. And that's we're sanctified to God. We're separated to God, not to the world. But also to be pleasing to God. When God looks at my life, He should be pleased with my life. There are times He's not. What happens? Scripture says that God disciplines those whom He loves. If you're saved, you have salvation. He loves you. He loves the whole world. But He loves you as the children of God. If you're a believer, He loves you. But the Scripture says He does discipline those whom He loves. That means that sometimes God pulls out a whipping paddle and gives us a whipping at times. And if you know what that feels like, what happens in your life, God allows things to happen in your life. He doesn't do it because He's mean. He doesn't do it. He does it for our upbringing. He does it for discipline. Let me remind you, God is the perfect Father. We all have dads. We've all had fathers on this earth, but none of them were perfect. We saw them in sometimes their worst moments. But we have a Father that is perfect. But we are to live a life that's pleasing to Him with our bodies. We are to live a life pleasing to Him. But He doesn't stop there. We are not to be conformed to this world. Once we've been sanctified, we have salvation, we've been sanctified, pulled out of that world, we were not to be conformed anymore to the world. That doesn't mean we don't obey the laws of the land. Scripture tells us we are to be to obey the laws of the land. There's a lot of people running around claiming to be Christians. Scripture says you'll know them by their fruits, and I'll leave it at that. But we are not to be conformed, but we are to be transformed. We are to change. We are to change in our life. We are not to be followers of the world. We are not to be like that. Our mind is to be changed. Our mind should start changing how it thinks. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. You're going to have sinful thoughts. You're going to have some battleground in your thoughts and your mind. But God's giving you the Holy Spirit and you can work through that. And when we are changed and we are sanctified and we are living a sacrificed life for Christ, we keep growing. Now, sometimes people think a sacrificed life is here, there. It's where God wants it to be. You allow Him to work in your life. He's going to keep working you toward where He wants you to be. Okay? It isn't by works, none of those things, but we do serve Him in His capacities in the way that He desires us to be. But there's a part here, it says, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. When you know that you're sanctified and you know that you're living the life that's sacrificed to God, people sometimes wonder, well, how do you hear the Holy Spirit and I don't? How can you know that the Holy Spirit is leading you and I don't hear a thing? Well, sometimes God is silent. Sometimes God is patient. But a lot of the times this is because we're not living a sanctified life. We're not living the sacrifice life. We always just keep talking to God, wanting, and we're not really communicating God with God. We're talking at God. There's a difference. And so some people are not hearing God because they're not listening for God. They're just talking. They're talking at God. So there's a lot of Christians that are struggling and don't need to struggle, but they're struggling because they're not listening. They're just talking. But not only are we to be sanctified, and we're supposed to be living a sacrifice life, but let me just back up on the sacrifice life. Living a sacrifice life means you got to. There's times you're going to have to give things up. I'm not talking about the simple things. We should be already working on that, amen? I'm talking about things in life. I'm talking about the things that you feel like, that's what my family needs, that's what I need. Yes, you're supposed to take care of your family, but you sacrifice a lot when you let God lead your life. And if you're a leader, you even got to sacrifice more. All right? So not only a sanctification, but not only a living a sacrificed life, but also a reminder of your reconciliation. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. This is an area that we do struggle with as well. This is another big word that people struggle with, reconciliation. Let me just remind you, reconciliation is not forgiveness, although forgiveness is a part of it, but it is not forgiveness. Reconciliation means something was broken. So man has been broken with God since the Garden of Eden. Sin entered in, man sinned, and there was a block, there was a peace between God and man. It's called sin. Disobedience. We sin. So this reconciliation is not just forgiveness. It's a part of it. Reconciliation is restoring that peace that was broken. It's bringing back what is missed. It's that separation between man and God, and God reconciled that divisiveness, that sinfulness between man and God. He reconciled it by sacrificing His Son Jesus Christ to take care of the sins and the washing away of our sins and cleansing us from all of our iniquities and transgressions. And He did that through Jesus Christ, so He reconciled that which was lost and broken. Does that make sense? And He did it through Jesus Christ. And we as believers, if we're growing, we need to get to that place where we understand and are reminded that we have been reconciled. Does that make sense? So let me read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And we can only do that through Christ. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And we cannot obtain righteousness without Jesus Christ. And then chapter 6, verse 1 says, working together with Him, we also appeal to you. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For He says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. I know we may have lost some here tonight in this preaching, but you will get, the Holy Spirit will give you something. Okay? Even if you're lost and you don't know and you're searching, the Holy Spirit has an amazing way to speak to even the lost. In such simple terms, even simpler than I'm speaking tonight. But we must understand and remember being reconciled to God. We must remember that. That if we are saved, we are a new creation. We need to remember that. That we are new because of God. We are new because of Christ. And we can stay that. We can keep that freshness of newness because of the Holy Spirit. Our old ways are gone and they are the past, but new life is with God. And that can only happen through Jesus. Do you understand all this stuff tonight? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have any of it. I hope you understand. You don't have a lick of any of it. But even if you have Christ, you can have a hard time understanding some of it. That's why you dig in the Bible. That's why you go to life groups on Sunday morning. That's why you study. That's why you read. And if you say, I don't need that, listen, time's going to come when your faith is going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be tested. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to think, do I really have Christ or not? Am I really a part of God's family or not? Well, scriptures like these, understanding sanctification will help you understand knowing, I know what I've got through Christ. I know what the Word tells me. I know what living a life, a sacrificed life is about. I know what reconciliation is about. Now, you don't have to understand that to get saved. Let me tell you that right now. You do not have to understand any of really what I'm talking about to have salvation. Jesus loves you right where you're at. Doesn't matter what you're doing. He loves you right where you are. But the cool part about the Lord is He will take you from there and He will lead you on the greatest journey of your life, and you will begin to understand what sanctification is. He will start doing it in your life before you even understand or even probably heard the word sanctification. God is always doing more work in us than we can ever understand. But that reconciliation, the old ways are gone, we're new, we're new creation in Christ, but there's a piece in here that we don't talk a lot about. And it's this part right here. Don't receive God's grace in vain. That means tonight you may understand every word I say, but you walk out this door and you don't take any of it with you. To understand God's word and not abide by God's word is worse than hearing God's word and not understanding it. You see, you don't understand it. You can walk out this room today and you can walk out and you just didn't understand it. But the Holy Spirit gives you understanding on it, and you walk out and you don't change it, you're held accountable for it in a much higher degree. Because you knew what it's about. You understood what it was about, but you chose not to live the way. You chose to push away from God. You chose to push away what God was trying to tell you, even through this tonight's message. Because this is the reminder. Can I share with you the reminder? This is what it is. For He says, I heard you in an acceptable time. That means God saying, I was there when you called out for help. When you called out for help, I was there. And I offered you salvation and you took it. But you aren't living it. You care less about sanctification. You care less about reconciliation. You're living your own life. Let me tell you, when Christians get on that road, let me just remind you, there's a pig pen waiting for you. And that pig pen is foul, it's nasty, and in that pig pen, you're always broke. And you may have money, but let me tell you, there's worse than being broke with money. It's called broken spiritually. Your heart is broken. Your joy is broken. You have no peace. You're a hollow person. But God says, I was there. I heard you in acceptable time. And I helped you in the day of salvation. God said, not only did I hear you, I helped you. That's by grace, because you didn't earn my help, He's saying. You didn't earn it. I give it to you freely. And the scripture says, do not receive God's grace in vain, which means He did everything for you out of His own love, His own mercies, because we saw the word mercies, and out of His own kindness and grace, He gave it to you, and we just took it, and we just did it all in vain. Didn't really mean anything. We love the idea of salvation, but we really didn't want the whole part of it. So if we're going to grow up in Christ, we need to understand reconciliation. That we were once separated from God. And that was the sin that we commit. But because of God's love and His mercy and His grace, that we have that we have the opportunity to take in that reconciliation, the gift of salvation, which is reconciliation, to bring us back to God through Jesus Christ. God says you can do it. But it's almost like God saying, don't come to me, come to my son. You have to come to me through my son. That is hard for people. You see, we can say God in a crowd, but if you say Jesus, it's offensive. You can say, oh Lord, in a crowd, but if you say Jesus, it's offensive. Why? Because Jesus is the way to salvation. It's offensive. The world can't stand it. But not only sanctification, not only living a sacrificed life, or remember your reconciliation time of coming to Christ. I know what that was all about. There's one last thing I want to share with you. It's called work out your salvation. Some of us heard it, but we don't understand it. Let's dig into that tonight. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We'll come back to that. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like the stars in the world. Hold firmly to the message. So we are called to work out our own salvation, which means you got to do something with it. Work it out. You got to do something with the salvation that you have. Why? Because you know that you're going to answer for the gift of salvation that God gave to you. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave his son that you might have life everlasting. He gave you salvation. Now you have life because of Jesus. You have an everlasting life with God the Father and the family of God. You have that. So with that, you're accountable for the life, the new life that he's given to you. Does that make sense? You're accountable for the new life that he's given to you. If you want to live the life that you have in the world as in the world, you can do what you want. But even you that even don't believe in Christ, don't receive Christ, you will still be judged. But you won't be judged as those who are with Christ. You'll be judged differently. You'll be judged by your works. You'll be judged and you'll be found guilty because you have sin in your life. You'll be judged by your whole life. But those who have Christ, Christ has forgiven us of our sins. We won't be judged for the things that they're going to be judged for because we're forgiven. We'll be standing before the Lord differently by how we served God, how we lived a sacrificed life. Were we living out the new creation? Did you do what he called you to do? So working out your salvation. And you got to live it out loud. Live it loud. Because the scripture says, man, God is working in you for his purposes. If God's working in you for his purposes, God's going to do something. God wants to do something in your life. Listen, you may have plans, but I'm telling you, I had plans in my life too, even as a believer. But I was doing my thing. And my thing never really had peace in it. You can do your thing, and I'm telling you, I promise you, you will not understand the joy that the peace that God gives, no matter what's going on in your life, even when you get lost. You lose loved ones. You financially in Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's a joy. There's a peace, even in hardship, that only comes through Christ. When you work out your salvation, God is working in you. When you're working it out, that's really God working in you. You allowing Him to, because you're doing these other things we talked about. And it's for His purposes. Let me tell you, when you don't have Christ, you're living out your purpose. And there's a lot of people doing that. Go to college, I'm going to get my bachelor, I'm going to get my master's, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to do all this. Let me tell you, hell is full of educated people. Hell is full of rich people. But hell is also full of people in poverty. It's not about all that other stuff. It's about, do you have Christ or do you not have Christ? If you have Christ, you better be living for Christ. If you don't have Christ, you need to take Him up on it. You need to take up on His gift of salvation. But working out your salvation, it also says you need to do everything. When Scripture says everything, that's everything. Now, we all struggle with this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, we all grumble, we all argue. But if you have a problem with anger, you really got a problem. Because what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit can calm you down, and she gives you the power to calm down. Your personality might be a little more flared up than others. But let me tell you, God gives you the power to calm it down. I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but me and Larry were talking. Larry had an issue back in the day with anger, and I can see that when I first met Larry. He was lost. I mean, we talked. He kind of grew up in church a little bit, but had some hardships there, whatever, some things in life, and he was an angry person. But I see now God just calms him down. God calms him down. So we got to watch the arguing. We got to watch the grumbling, because it helps no one and it hurts the church body. Not just the church body here, but the body of Christ. The world may be ugly, and it is. It may be perverted, very sinful, and as dark as evil. But we are called to be different than the world. Scripture says we're like stars that shine in the darkness. Like shiny stars. The world may not see you coming and know that you're a Christian. But I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe that demons and angels know who believers are and who aren't. Let me tell you, they know if you're a believer. They know if you're not. You know, blessed, God loves to bless. I've been blessed in my life so many times. I cannot give back to God what He's done for me. And many of you that are walked with the Lord for a long time, you understand. You really start thinking about what the Lord has done for you. It just humbles you. He's so good. And He blesses. And you really want that for people in your family or friends or people that you just want other people to have that. But how we do that, we continue to live out the light that God wants us to, living out as shiny stars into this world. And we're also called, this last piece, we are also called to hold firmly to what? To the message of life. Which is the gospel. Which is the life of Jesus. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Word of God, the message of life. If you want life, you have to do it through Jesus Christ. You want eternal life, you have to do it through Christ. You know what's amazing about this whole thing? When I stand before Jesus and give an account, I'll never have to give an account for those junky old sins. You know, people that have been in prison, if they get their hearts right with God and they come to salvation and they seek for forgiveness and Christ forgives them, they may have to pay a price here. But when they stand before Christ, it is as though it never happened. That's what reconciliation is. That's what true forgiveness is. See, when you forgive, you don't forget. And God gives us a memory too. He wants us to remember. somebody did us bad several times. We need to remember. But we need to learn to forgive. But what is awesome is God erases. When he erases, he erases. When he forgives, he forgives. He don't bring it back up. Can we all admit tonight that we're not as strong as a Christian as God wants us to be? I would say that for myself. I'm also can say tonight also that I'm reminded even in my own studies that reconciliation brings me back to the place really what my salvation was really all about. But also reminds me that I need to continue to stay faithful in the faith, that I am to share the message, to shine like a star in the community, not for my names to be in the marquee lights, but to share the gospel, the story that Jesus still is opening his arms up for those who ever shall come. I have to keep growing as a Christian, as a believer. I got to live more of the sacrifice life. You see, how can I say that these scriptures are true? Well, I look at Jeremy's life. Jeremy was a mess before he came to Christ. A big, big mess. I've seen a lot of changes in Angie. I'm going to throw Angie's name out. I only say name if I feel comfortable, they feel comfortable. She's not the same person she was when she first came. You know why? Because Scripture says when God starts to sanctify, he goes to work. Reconciliation, he goes to work. The sacrifice life, he starts working with us to do that. To work out your salvation, he starts working that. And it's a progress that God does in individual lives. And it's not about beating somebody to the finish line. It's not about being better than someone else. It's about you and him working out you. Nobody else. You. This is the part where it's really about you. And no one else. You. And when you get a bunch of yous that are growing in the church starts growing spiritually. I just hope that you have a desire to want to draw closer to God, because I'm telling you, what many of us are doing is not working. And the world is not working. What I love about God is this: God has a plan that's been the same plan ever since. The way to salvation is the same way it's been since the day he offered it. Forgiveness is the same way he's done as he's doing it today. The world, it changes everything, because nothing is true. Nothing is solid. There's no solid foundation out there. But on the scriptures, it's one scripture builds a block. It's the perfect foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen. I know, not only myself, but some of you, God is inspiring, encouraging you tonight to draw closer and to grow in the walk with him as a believer. And maybe someone that's not a believer, maybe tonight God has spoken to you in a way for you to receive salvation. Because he says, I heard you in a time of need. And that's what that means. He opens your heart that you might receive the gospel. And he says, and I was there on the day of salvation, for your day of salvation. God's not pushing you away. We are pushing him away. Father, as we get ready to close out and open up this time, I pray, Father, that your will be done, because it is perfect. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.